seeing the Lord. Without Him, you have nothing. With Him, you have everything. And we saw in the morning message that He was David's safe place. And when our eyesight's right, He's our safe place. And I want to present to you this afternoon that the result of that is happiness. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Bow with me again and help me settle my heart as I pray. Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to participate in these wonderful meetings, to be reunited with old friends and family, to see the continuance of service here in this assembly, to be blessed by the being able to be present here as this takes place. We thank You for all of it. And ask, Lord, that You'd keep us alert and focused upon You as we try to, again, preach. So I ask, Lord, for Your touch and Your grace and Your liberty and Your boldness and Your compassion, that I might present Christ properly and man's only hope of salvation and happiness, true happiness. And we thank You for the privilege and ask for Your help in Jesus' name. Amen. I borrowed this from Brother Gordon, and so I'll give him the credit. And maybe he said it as he's preached from this pulpit, I don't know. We find in this text that happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Brother Gordon gave me this thought about a year ago. I was doing a series, and he said, happiness is not a pursuit. People pursue happiness all the time, and it's elusive. Happiness is a result. Amen. Happiness, and we see it in this verse 15. It's the result of knowing the Lord. It's the result of seeing Him clearly. It's the result of having Him to be first in our lives. Having Him, to see Him as sovereign God. And I'm serving Him. And to see Him as Lord and Savior, and specifically my Lord and my Savior. And He saved me. And seeing Him, Psalm 18 is our safe place. How can one not be happy? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Who's your God? I mentioned this morning. I'll jump over there real quickly and read one passage out of Psalm, one verse out of Psalm 86. As I ask you the question, I ask you to probe your heart. Who's your God? What's your God? Everybody has something that they depend upon, lean upon, trust in. That may be all kinds of different things, but what's yours? If I start listening, I'll miss yours, and you'll think you outsmarted me. I'm not going to list them. What's your God? Who's your God? And I say that because on the basis of Psalm 86:8, the Bible says, among the gods, there's none like unto thee. Did you get that? Among the gods, there's none like upon none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. What's your God? I'm here to tell you that Psalm 144:15 is true. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And I'm assuming that you're pretty much like everybody else in the world. You'd like to have a level of happiness, a level of contentment, a level of joy in your life. What are you doing to find it? Are you like the common wrong notion? I'm pursuing happiness. And by that they mean getting what they want, satisfying the flesh, reaching some level of success or plateau or status. And now I am happy. Are you? As the old saying goes, then what? I'll do this and I'll do that. Then what? I'll do this and I'll do that. And then what? And sooner or later, you get to the then what, where you stand before the Lord. How happy then when you've made a God out of something other than the Lord? Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Look at Paul's warning in Philippians chapter 2. We want to take a quick survey of some gods, some of the popular gods. I'm not going to hit them all, not even going to try. But I want to draw to your attention mainly so that it'll whet your appetite to think about the contrast. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord versus that person that has any other thing driving them in their lives. Any other thing they're trusting in, any other thing they're ascribing to, any other pursuit that they're chasing after, anything other than God. And contrast in the scriptures, and contrast with you just logically thinking through the difference between happy is that people whose God is the Lord and everybody who's not trusting in the Lord. Paul warns about this in Philippians chapter 2. He warns about my next point. He says, and I want to address first the God of self. The God of self is a pretty harsh taskmaster. The God of self is a very sinful master. And Paul warns against selfishness in some great contrasts in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now, that's not typically, very often, how the natural man esteems other people. I'm better than you in my own mind. The natural man lofts himself up over everybody else. And Paul says, no, let nothing be done that way. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things. That's what we tend to do. Master of my destiny, you know, and I'm self-directed and answerable to no one. The God of self promises a lot of happiness and pleasure. Lets you down. Lets you down frequently. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. The God of self. Self-minded, self-directed, answerable to no one. In his mind, he's always going to be on top. He's always going to be the best. He doesn't care who he hurts to get there. This God does not care who you have to stomp on and crush to get advancement, because I'm the most important thing in my own mind. And this God promises so much. You're going to be the best. You're going to be on top. And they equate that with, so therefore I'm going to be happy. Look around at super, uber successful people. Look at the evidences of pain in their lives. The escape through alcohol and drugs and just the emptiness that you can see in the broken relationships and the failed marriages and all that goes on so predominantly in the realm of the super successful, the super accomplished, the super wealthy. Nothing wrong with most of those things in their right place. But you make it a selfish motive to reach those things. And it becomes a God that is very dissatisfying. It becomes a God that leaves one empty and alone and with any conscience at all feeling guilty about how they had to stomp on other people to get where they are. The exact opposite of happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He's directing their steps. He's being their shield. He's the motivation for them to strive to accomplish anything because they're trying to honor Him with their lives. They're trying to serve Him. They're trying to tell others about Him, about the Lord. And He's everything to them. And if they get stepped on the way, okay. If look at the apostles in the New Testament. They get thrown in prison, whatever. They, you know, preach to the guy feeding him in jail, you know. Paul couldn't go to the world, so the Lord brought the world to Paul, and he preached to the jailers and so on. But the God of self will run you ragged, give you all kinds of false hope, only to let you down, and especially as it relates to standing before the Lord. Lets you down big. And so you're not going to find happiness as you pursue serving self. But then our psalmist writes, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And so another one I thought of, God of laziness, the God of idleness. We're just going to go off in a lofty tower and just enjoy the day, and everything's going to be fine and grand. Everything's going to be rosy and daisies. Proverbs 19:15. There's many proverbs you could go to. But the God of laziness. And remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 86, among the gods now. Lots of gods, but among them, there's none like unto the Lord. Proverbs 19:15. I don't know what I said. I'm not sure I said Proverbs 19:15, but here it is. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Living in a generation, I say that a lot, I guess, as older I get. Living in a generation that idleness is to be achieved. It's to be reached for. To get to the place where I don't have to do anything. Because we're a lazy people. Far too much. But it's so counterproductive to the goal of happiness. And it promises so much. It's terrible. It's a terrible master. It gives just the opposite of what it promises. It promises ease and bliss-filled days and calm, and brings emptiness and hunger. It's not a God that you want to be serving. Only Psalm 144:15. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And so laziness isn't probably one of the most prevalent, but how about this? The God of money. The God of money. What do we do to pursue after money? Who will we step on? What will we set aside for the God of money? And again, there's so many promises made by this God. And so few deliveries. Look at 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. 1 Timothy 6, an obvious passage for this. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's all you really need to know about this God. It's the root and the source of the evil that flows out of it. The God of money. Oh, if I had more money, then I'd be happy. Man, if I had more money, I'd buy that whatever I wanted. If I had more money. But look at the folks that have all they want. Look at the folks that can buy anything they want. It's parallel to one of the other ones that we've already talked about, but it promises so much and leaves one so empty. I've got all this. The commercials. The network television is almost a thing of the past, but there's still commercials. In the commercials, you got to buy this car to reach the status that you want, right? You got to have these clothes or these shoes or whatever. And the marketing campaigns that promote, boy, if you just had this, right? If you just had this car. You ever get the wrong car? I got the wrong car one. You get that car. Just have this car. Oh, I think a couple times. If I just had that car, everything would be perfect. And then that car turns out to be such a problem. And even the best of them have to be fixed and they wear out and so on and so on. And you don't find any true, lasting happiness. As much as money promises to make the pathway to happiness, you're just not going to find it there. Not when that's your God. Now, I get that, and I've been on both sides of the ledger. It's a whole lot easier to live your life when you have enough to pay your bills. I understand that, been there, done that. I get it. But don't make it your God. Don't think that it's going to bring you some level of happiness. And then we get into some gods that are a little more obvious, a little more destructive. I'm calling this one the God of the high. Any kind of substance abuse of any kind that promises that high, that euphoria. This God is a harsh taskmaster. This God promises fun and escape and just this blissful, euphoric place. By whatever means. I don't care what kind of means comes to your mind, but just the God of the high, whether it be substances or alcohol, or the high that people are dying to try to find. And this God is a harsh, harsh taskmaster. The God of the high brings broken lives, broken homes, the substance abuse that has wrecked many families, the substance abuse that is driven by the God of this high that has made it so that parents can't keep their kids. There's no happiness at the end of that road. I ran across this, and it stuck with me. Be careful what road you're on and what road you're traveling. You might get to where it leads. What if where is the road you're on leading? I pray the road you're on is leading to glory. I pray the road you're on is resting in Christ, serving Christ, striving to obey Christ, and that's the road I'm on. And you, by God's grace, will get to where you're headed. But what if the road you're on leads to destruction? And without turning around, getting off that road, that's what you're going to find and have. And the God of the high pushes you down that road fast. While all the time, look at all my friends, and we do this together, and it's wonderful. We don't remember yesterday, but it was great, I guess. We don't remember what we did, but we think it was fun. And man, my head hurts today, but it was a blast. God of the high promises so much joy and brings so much pain and brokenness. Not only broken homes, broken lives, broken families, ruined careers, broken bodies that no longer function properly. And even after you see it, this God won't let you go. Even after you try and try and try to break the grip, this God says, "You're mine. I won't let you go. I will ruin you, and ruin you, this God will. Unless the God intervenes. Breaks you from this grip. And you'll find also that happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Oh, that God of the high, that was a tough one. That was a bad one. One that is so prevalent in our day. The God of sex. Oh, what does the God of sex promise? It's just fun. Just fun. Just wonderful. Relationships, such as they are, just awesome. This God is terribly deceitful, lying on every turn, perverting and distorting everything that God has given husbands and wives in its place to be beautiful. And wonderful and healthy. And this God brings just the opposite on every level. This God, the God of sexual immorality, will lead someone into lying, sneaking around. Lead someone into deceitfulness to cover their actions. Any God that leads an individual to go contrary to the Word of God, and going contrary to the Word of God so that they can more prevalently go contrary to the Word of God, that's a God to run from. The God of sexual immorality has broken many, many homes. And again, It's very parallel in some ways to the God of the high. Even once you realize that this is messing up my home, this is messing up my life, and you might try to break free from it, that God just holds you on tight. Just promises more joy, more euphoria, more satisfaction to the flesh. All the time. This God is so specifically deceitful because it's what Satan does so well. But in this case, so prevalently, taking what God has blessed man with and twisting it and perverting it until pornography becomes a billion-dollar business. Promoting this God of sexual immorality. And again, you see, oh my goodness, this is so self-destructive. This is just not bringing me any. It's tearing my heart out. It's ruining my marriage. It's ruining my relationship with this person, that person, so on and so on. And I can't break its grip because this God holds on tight. But the common denominator of all of these that I've mentioned and the countless other ones that I don't have time to mention, none of them deliver what they promise to deliver. Contentment, joy, happiness, pleasure. Oh, obviously there is a level of pleasure in sin for a season, but the law of sowing and reaping is still there. It's going to come back to haunt you if you're sowing sinful seeds. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. And at first, oh, it's fine. See, that's where the God of the high and the God of sexual immorality, that's where they really excel. At first, it seems fine. It's not hurting anybody. It's just fun. Until you get hooked down into it pretty good. And then, when you realize it's destroying much of your life, you can't easily get away. But happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Go back to our text in Psalm 144. And think about Psalm 86 and verse 8. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. When we realize and see clearly the Lord, and we compare this to Psalm 86:8, that among the gods, there's none like unto you, Lord. When you can't break the grip of these other gods, he can. When you can't break free in the strength of your own willpower and flesh, even though you know you need to, when you can't break free, he's able to set you free. I've heard the testimony of many, many people in the bondage of many different gods and deeply into them, and have the Lord to come and graciously touch their lives and set them free from those sins. No, they still struggle with sin because we're still in this flesh. Every one of us do. I don't remember who I was telling. 60-year-old flesh has a propensity to sin just as much as 18-year-old flesh. Might be a little wiser on saying no sometimes, but the flesh still wants to. But happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He can set you free. He is able to break the grip of any of these gods. He's stronger than any of them. He is able to restore and rebuild and bring order. He is able to do the one thing that all the other gods promise but can't deliver. Bring you happiness, contentment, joy. A joy that transcends any of my circumstances. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Anything that He leads me, I know He's got a reason for it. Any direction He takes me, I know there's a purpose for it. And there's a loving hand taking me there. And He's protecting me from anyone, even in the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. He's protecting me. He's spread out a banquet feast in the presence of mine enemies. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now there's a couple of hound dogs that you want on your back, want chasing you. Those two hound dogs. Goodness and mercy, right there. Right there, keeping you corralled. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord's. I meant sheepdogs, not hound dogs, different entity. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He can restore and rebuild. He can bring satisfaction and true happiness. He is loving and merciful. None of these other gods have an ounce of love for you. None of these other gods are compassionate towards you. None of these other gods care anything except their own self-promotion, satisfying me. The Lord Jesus Christ is loving and merciful, compassionate, patient. Every one of these gods that I mentioned to one varying level and degree or another bring disorder and disarray and disunity. God can restore that and bring order to your life. Unity with other like-minded people. More importantly, unity with the Lord. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Every promise that He makes, He keeps. He fulfills. Every promise in His Word that we read that can be applied to the faithful follower of Christ, He keeps every one. He's never been false advertising. He's never made a promise that He didn't intend to keep. He's never made a promise that He wasn't able to keep. The gods of this that we've described, all small g gods, of course, every one of them constantly make promises they can't keep. He's always able to bring order and restore and fulfillment and joy. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He never washes His hands of His people. These other gods, they use you, cast you aside, find somebody else to use. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He comes alongside of His people. They trust Him. They serve Him. They want to live for Him. They want to exalt Him in their lives. They realize their shortcomings. They look to Him for strength and direction and restoration and forgiveness. And He just continues to walk with them. Continues to work with them. Continues to demonstrate mercy and love and compassion. No wonder they're happy. And so it's just another passage of Scripture that reminds us, when you see the Lord clearly, when you really can see Him for who He is, It's not a drudgery to serve him. It's wonderful. You find, I preached a long time ago. I was still serving here in this church, and I was in a manager's meeting at the old factory where I used to work. But I had been called to preach, and I was struggling with that dynamic of still working but wanting to pastor. There was an ad campaign at that time. I think it was a credit card. Membership has its privileges. And I was sitting in a manager's meeting, and somebody said something about using the company credit card for some reason or another, and that membership has its privileges. And the Lord connected some dots, and I thought of the child of God, kind of in the context of Psalm 144:15. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Serving the Lord has its privileges. Membership, if you will, has its privileges. And I completely checked out of the meeting. And I started scribbling in my notebook. I'm sure they thought I was taking notes. And I was, but I was writing a message. And Randy, you there? Uh-huh. Yeah, what? Just a minute. But think about the blessings. Think about the privileges of that people whose God is the Lord compared to all these other gods. No wonder they're happy. I pray that today you could look to him. If you never have, or if you need to afresh, just rest in him. Just trust him. I've been where most of you are. At that time period when I don't need him. I don't need nothing. But God intervened in my life and showed me who he was. And I realized I did need him. I don't need any direction. I know exactly what I'm doing. I realize I don't know anything. Because I don't know 2 minutes from now, 1 minute from now, 2 seconds from now. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He that knows eternity, from now to eternity, is directing my steps. And he knows the path that I take. And Job said, he knows the path that I take. Many such things are with him. And when he is done, I will come forth as gold. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Brother Titus.